I like that, don't you? That was good. I enjoyed that song. What a blessing. I got to thinking, Brother Sean leading the music there kind of reminded me of old Cliff Barrows, and Brother Ron getting up there singing reminded me of old Beverly Shea, George Beverly Shea. Praise the Lord. Man, they could sing heaven down and glory filling our soul, couldn't they? Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Philippians. I'm going to continue my message that I started last Sunday morning on enemies. Enemies. How many of you got an enemy? Raise your hand. Everybody got an enemy. If you're a Christian, you got enemies out there. And I believe one of the problems that we're facing today is that we don't know who our enemy is, right? You need to know the enemy. You need to know the ones that are out there that hate you, that despise you, that want to cause injury to you, that want to disrupt your lifestyle as a child of God. Amen? Amen. But if you live for the Lord, be it made known, you're going to have enemies. Jesus had enemies. And sad to say, many of those enemies were those that were round about him every day. It was the religious crowd. And by the way, we're going to get to that. The religious crowd out there in the world of today, denominationalism, all those things, they can be an enemy to the church of the living God, to the local church. Remember that. But we'll look at that a little bit later on. Last week, just a few of them that I dealt with, one of them was Satan. Of course, we know that Satan is an enemy of the local church. He's an enemy of the cross of Christ. We know that the world is an enemy. We talked about that last week. The world, and as a child of God, even though you and I live in the world, we're not of the world. And to be a friend of the world, the Bible says, is to be the enemy of God. And so it's very important that we abstain from and come out from among the world, and that we're separate, as the Bible reminds us of. Another is carnality, being fleshly or worldly. That goes right hand in hand with worldly. And then, of course, compromise. And we talked about that and dealt with it pretty much in detail. Now this morning, Lord willing, I may not get finished with the first one. I don't know. That's the way it goes sometimes. But my plan is to talk about three enemies this morning. And remember this, I'm not here to offend a soul. I'm not here to upset. I'm not here to make anyone angry. I'm not here to make anyone mad. But Brother Ron said this morning, if the shoe fits, we've got to wear it. Amen. And Brother Ron said, if you stick your foot out there, the preacher's going to step on it. Sometimes I'm going to pull your foot out and step on it. Say amen right there. Because I'll do that sometimes as well, won't I? Sometimes you say, well, preacher, you're going to meddling now. You're getting a little too close to home. Well, that's what preachers do. Amen. Preachers that care about the flock of God. I care about you. I care for your soul. I care for your spiritual well-being this morning. But the three enemies that I intend on dealing with this morning, time permitting, like I said, I may not get through the first one. If I don't, that's why this is a series of messages that I started last week. Because I've got quite a few others that I'm gonna talk about before this series of messages is completed. And so the ones that I would like to deal with this morning are enemies, remember, the cross of Christ, enemies of the local church, are number one, public education. Number two is the terminology that we know of today called political correctness. And the third one that I'll deal with is the presumption of hidden sin. The presumption of hidden sin, or sin that we try to hide. And folks, those are three very strong enemies that oppose what the church stands for today. Amen. Now let me ask you this morning, is there anyone here this morning that graduated high school before 1962. If you graduated high school before 1962, raise your hand. Be proud of it. Let's raise those hands. Everybody look around. See those? Before 1962. Well, in 1962 is when it all began. That's when they began to make a move and to remove God out of the schoolhouse. Now, I don't know if any of our folks, and I know where my mother went to school, but you know, they used to talk about those little white schoolhouses. You know why they were little white schoolhouses? Because they were also church houses. Do you realize that public education began in the church house? That's where it began. That's where children began to be educated, was in the church house. But I'm going to tell you, folks, we've come a long way, and we haven't come a long way, baby, but we've come a long way moving away from God and trying to remove God from our educational system. Now, realize today, we've got teachers, we've got people that have taught in public education right here today. If I were to ask you, probably two-thirds of the congregation here this morning are products of public education. I came through the public education system. Thank God. Thank God. But in 1962 was when it all began. Now get this right here. This is some statistics right here that I read. On June the 17th, 1963, there was a case with the Abington School District versus Shelp, I believe is the name. And through that, the Supreme Court, on June the 17th, 1963, the Supreme Court declared school-sponsored prayer and Bible reading unconstitutional. In 1963, did any of those that have come up past then, do you remember that your schools reading Bible, having Bible read or praying? If you did, raise your hand this morning. We had Bible reading every Monday and prayer. We opened up the week in prayer at the school that I attended. Thank God for that. Some of you didn't have that privilege. Folks, even today, even though as bad as our public education and our public school system is, we still have some teachers that are on the front lines out there trying to do the right thing, trying to be an example, trying to bring people to Christ and trying to be a godly example to their students. Thank God for those that are out there. But public education in general is anti-God, is anti-Christian, anti-Bible, and it is anti-church. And that's what we must get along. I remember, now this happened years ago, Curtis. This was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back when we decided that we were going to take our children out of public education. But Curtis was attending elementary school. Had a wonderful, godly Christian principal. And she'd get up and she'd read Bible stories and have prayer with the students. I'm not talking about a class. She did it for the whole class. Bible reading. And there was one family in that school that raised a ruckus because she read Bible stories and had prayer with the students. And do you know what happened? It stopped it for everybody. You know what all the Christian mamas and daddies should have done? We should have rose up and said, hey, this is our school too, and we're going to do it, like it or not. It ought not to be that way, should it? But sad to say, That is the way it is. That is the way it is. Sad to say. But today, I want to preach on this thought once again. The enemies of the cross of Christ, the enemies of the local church. And the first one we'll deal with this morning is public education. Stand with me as we honor God's Word. I want to read these few verses once again as I read last week. Philippians chapter number 3, beginning in verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them, in other words, identify them, which walk so as ye have us for an example. And here again, we're talking about enemies. He says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Folks, there are a lot of enemies out there. A lot of them. And we're not going to be able to do anything about it. We're going to fall prey to these enemies if we do not recognize our enemies. I think it was General Douglas MacArthur many years ago said that the enemies cannot be defeated if we don't know who they are. That's why as your pastor this morning, that's why God laid this on my heart to bring these thoughts to your mind, to identify these enemies of the cross of Christ and these enemies of our local church today, because they want to destroy your home. They want to destroy your family. Realize that when the family's destroyed, what's next? The church. As the family goes, so goes the church. As the church goes, so goes what? The country. And we see America in such a mess today. And the reason be it, folks, it all started with the family and the church and our country. All we can pray this morning is God help us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and ask your blessing now upon this message. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Have your will in it, we pray. We'll thank you for what's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There's another message that I will bring in regards to enemies. But some of you, and this right here again just kind of shows you the direction that the world is going in. How many of you as children enjoyed superheroes? Batman, Robin, Superman, Spider-Man, all these folks that were that supposedly did good. Well, how many of you heard this past week that DC Comics has brought out Superman, and Superman now is bisexual? God help us, folks. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. That's what's happening, as we talked about last week from the book of Jude, that these enemies, they're creeping in unaware. And I'm going to tell you, as Brother Ron touched on it this morning, and a message that I will bring sometimes in the next few weeks, maybe next Sunday, on another enemy of the cross of Christ, and that's Hollywood. Hollywood, folks, I'm going to tell you, they have brainwashed our society. They have defiled the minds of our young people today into tolerating and looking at these things as perfectly okay and perfectly natural. I'm going to tell you, hey, I may have been a fan of Superman, but I don't like Superman anymore. Why? Because he's crossed the line. He's crossed the line. And I can't support something like that as a child of God. And neither should you be able to as well. As we think about this morning about public education being an enemy, you know as well as I do, back years ago, we were taught in our public school that We were taught reading, writing, and arithmetic. I believe that's still important. And no doubt if we ask any child that attends public school, they'd probably tell you the same thing. Yes, we learn how to read, we learn how to write, and we learn some arithmetic. But I'm going to tell you, there's another agenda in the public school system besides reading, writing, and arithmetic. And of course, most of us that went through the public school system, and you'd say, "Preacher, this is where you failed in," and no doubt I did, but I did have English, I had grammar, and I had literature. Even though I do murder the English language when I speak most of the time, but as I said earlier, I've got my preacher and I've got my English teacher that lives with me that helps me with those things. Thank God for that. So these were things as well that you and I were taught. They still supposedly teach these things. Science, of course. Now that's a big subject when it comes to education. And then, of course, nowadays, history. Sad to say, our public school system, American history, has been distorted. It's been perverted. Back in our day, or most of our days, we looked at American history and we thought about our founding fathers. Now realize that our founding fathers, they were men, right? That means that they were not perfect. They're men just like you and I are, just like you and me. They had the same temptation, same. They dealt with the same issues of sin and everything. But I'm going to tell you, the majority of the men that penned their names on that document on 1776, I'm going to tell you, those men were godly men. They were godly men. They were God-fearing men. And you've heard me say it and read it many times before, the statement of George Washington, of Benjamin Franklin, of others just like them, and how they depended and their dependency upon God's holy word. America was founded upon the principles of God's word and upon our Christian faith. That is not what public school history that's being taught today. They're digging into all the dirt and the grime and the myths of everything about our founding fathers and making our founding fathers look like perverts and weirdos. But folks, they were godly men, God-fearing men, that believed in God, that believed in church, and believed in His holy word. Now, when we think about public education, what are they doing? Well, first of all, we'd have to say they're brainwashing our children. Birth control is being distributed. You realize that today? Birth control is being distributed to our young people in our public school system. That ought not to be. Sad to say, if we were back the way it used to be, our school teachers, along with our preachers, and sad to say that many pulpits have gone silent on a lot of these issues, and that's why we're having such a terrible thing go on right now, is because of the pulpits. Preachers aren't preaching against sin. Preachers aren't naming sin the way they once did. I'm going to tell you, birth control is not the answer to safe sex. It's not the answer to sexual transmitted disease. Birth control is not the answer to teen pregnancies or children out of wedlock. Abstinence until marriage is the answer. And that's what the Bible teaches. And that's what our young people should hear. They should hear that at home. It should be backed up at the church where they hear that from their preachers and their Sunday school teacher. But they should also hear that in their schools as well. But they're not hearing it. All they're doing is stamping a stamp of approval on it. Sex education is being taught. Being taught to children as young as Cameron's age, 7 years old, first, second graders are being taught sex education. I'm going to tell you, public school system is not the place for children to learn about sex. And by the way, sex is a God-given gift to a married couple. Did you get that, young people? To a married couple. It's a God-given gift to a married couple. Anything outside of being married and any kind of sexual intimacy between a man and a woman prior to marriage, God calls it sin and He calls it fornication. And the Bible reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that the body is not for fornication but for the Lord. And the Bible says that you're to flee fornication. He goes on to say in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 when he's talking about that, when he says there that a man should not touch a woman. You say, well, preacher, what is your interpretation of a man touching a woman? Should a man kiss a woman before they get married? What does the Bible say? When a man and a woman kiss, is there any part of their bodies touching? I'm going to let you answer. Anybody, do I have to bring Donna up here? We're married. Do I have to bring her up here and give her a big smooch and let you see? Bible said it's good for what? A man not to touch a woman. That's why he said it's better to marry than to burn. Because those feelings between a man and a woman are perfectly natural. There's nothing unnatural with a man looking at a woman and seeing her beauty and enjoying the beauty, or vice versa. Those are feelings that God instills in us, but they have to be harnessed until that time when they unite themselves in the bonds of holy matrimony, and then they're able to give themselves as a gift to one another in that sexual relationship. But that's not what they're being taught in the public school system. Sex education for our young children. Again, our children should not learn about sex in a classroom environment, in a co-ed classroom environment. Abortions are made available for teen pregnancy in the public school system. Don and I, we have friends that have been teachers and are still teachers today in the public schools. And what they deal with day in and day out. We've got one that she cannot wait till she's able to retire. She is tired of fighting the battle. Tired of fighting the battle. Folks, for those that are living godly or try to live godly, it's a battle every day in the school system. It's a battle every day in the school system. As I've said earlier, that God has been removed from the halls of public education. Our God, the God in which we serve, Jehovah God, the great I Am, He has been removed, and yes, He's been replaced by many other gods. The gods of humanism. The gods of philosophy, the pagan and the atheistic gods. Today you cannot talk about Jehovah God in church. You cannot, or in a classroom environment. You can't talk about Jesus Christ in a classroom environment in the public school system. But any other God, Allah, Buddha, Confucius, any others out there, you can discuss, you can talk about, you can praise, you can worship them in that classroom environment, but you better not mention the name of Jesus. Human rights are being taught to our children. Civil rights. Personal rights. Now I realize that many that the great fault falls on the parenting, But I'm going to tell you, we have got a wicked and perverse generation of young people that are coming up. We've got a group of young people that are rebellious in their heart. Proverbs chapter 24 describes them. Describes them to a T. But they're rebellious. Where do they learn that rebellion? Folks, it starts in the home. But it doesn't stop in the home. That rebellion is being taught in our public school systems. Declaring their rights. I'm going to tell you, our young people, just like the prodigal son, what did he do? He went to his daddy and he told him, he said, I want what's mine. Is that not the attitude of a lot of young folks today? Hey, you give me what belongs to me. Hey, I don't have to do that if I don't want to. I was going to use the example tonight, and I may use it again. But a couple examples I remember Brother Billy Goosby giving about young people, about children, teenagers in his church back several years ago. All of you know Brother Billy went home to be with the Lord this past September. It was a year ago in September of 2020. But I still remember many of the great messages that he preached over the years and how he challenged my heart and even the heart of our church here on a number of occasions. Brother Billy was talking about, he was preaching a sermon one day, and it was some very, very important truths that needed to be brought out. And he said one little girl sat back there and she kept wanting to chat with her friend, kept wanting to talk with her friend. And so anyway, you know, Brother Billy just kind of casually said, spoke up and said, now we need to listen. What I'm saying is important, and everybody needs to listen. So he tried to cover it that way and not make a spectacle out of the young lady. The young lady continued to laugh and giggle and talk back and forth with her friend. And finally, he called the young girl by name. And he said, listen here, I've asked you one time to be quiet. If you can't be quiet, get up and leave the service. Now, you know what? Some of you would get mad. I know you. If I were to do that to you, or if I did that to your children, some of you would get mad. The same thing that her mother did. That little girl, that teenage girl, her mother looked over at her and told her, said, you don't have to do what he says. What do you think that mother was teaching that teenage daughter? Rebellion. Rebellion, rebellion against God, rebellion against God's word. What do you think her attitude about her preacher is growing up? What do you think her attitude about the church is growing up? There's a time to talk. There's a time to be silent. But I'm just trying to show you what's being taught to our young people today. It started, that rebellion started in the home, and it's being reinforced in our public school system because our young people are demanding their rights. We want this now. And then, of course, our government's promising them everything. Do you know that this past month, that there were 4.3 million workers disappeared? That's what's being blasted out there on the news. 4.3 million workers have walked off of the job in America. Some of them cited that they weren't getting paid enough. Some of them cited that poor working conditions. And some of them just burned out and just wanted to quit. I'm going to tell you, you got a job, you better keep it. But they don't have to keep it when they're being taught in our school systems that you've got rights. And sad to say, they're trying to force feed our employers and make them cow down to the workforce. Sad. It's sad what's happening to America. It's sad to see what our children are being taught. Our children are being taught in a public school that God is whoever or whatever they think Him to be. This is my God. I worship you today, this plant. This is my God. If I want this to be my God, if I believe this to be my God, then what is it? It's God. Right? Do you agree with me? If I look at that light and I say that that light is my God, and I believe it, that's what they're being taught, as long as you believe it to be truth. If you believe that to be what it is to you, it is. That's the philosophy. The public education philosophy that's being taught our young people today, that God is whosoever or whatever you think Him to be. If you think the wind is God, then the wind is your God. If you think the rustling of the leaves is your God, then that's your God, if you believe it. It goes back to the days of Judges when there was no leadership. There was no king in Israel. So every man did what? That which was right in their own eyes. And that's what we're doing. That's what's being taught today. If you think it to be truth, if you think it to be right, it's okay. For whatever you think to be right is right. Of course, we know that they have been taught that man came from apes. And I was talking to Cameron about this yesterday. Brother Dale Butler made the statement many years ago when he said, "My ancestors may have swung by the neck, but they never swung by the tail." You and I were created in the image of God. And after His likeness and after His manner. The Bible says that. That's what the Bible states. It doesn't matter what public education has to say. It doesn't matter what public education teaches. Fortunately, in my class, I didn't hear a whole lot about evolution during the science that I was taught. Because I had a Christian teacher at that time. They had a Christian mindset and a philosophy. And she didn't teach the garbage that our young people today. But if you're going to be a teacher today in public education, you've got to bow to their gods. I learned this several years ago when my daughter, she graduated from college. She wanted to go to work. She came here to Alabama to live. She tried to get a job in the public arena in the public, and because the college she attended was not accredited at that time, even though she scored as high or higher than any teacher had ever scored on the test in the state of Alabama, she was not given a job because she did not go to an accredited college. But she outscored almost every teacher in the state of Alabama. Sad to say, isn't it? They're being taught that the world was formed through evolution. They're being taught that premarital sex is healthy. This is what they've been taught in their sex education classes. They're also being taught here again, which teaches rebellion, that a woman's choice is her right. I heard somebody say the other day, all of those abortion activists or that support abortion, they ought to be thankful that their mothers didn't abort them. They ought to be thankful that their mothers were pro-life and gave them life. I told my mother the other day, I said, I thank you for choosing to give birth to me and not aborting me. They're also being taught this in our public school system, that homosexuality and lesbianism is an alternate lifestyle that must be embraced. You're being taught this in the public school system, in the public arena, that this is an alternate lifestyle, that it's perfectly normal. God calls it abnormal. God calls it inordinate affection. God calls it sodomy. God calls it unnatural. I'm not being harsh. I'm just telling you what God's Word says. But yet our young people are being taught something completely different in the public arena. That this is an alternate lifestyle that has to be embraced and must be embraced. Reminds me of a story that Dr. Clarence Sexton told back many years ago about a school teacher teaching a third or fourth grade class. And you know, a lot of times those younger students, they want to embrace their teacher. They want to please their teacher. They have a nature that wants to do this. And so this teacher was certainly taking advantage of all these various things, of these young people and their minds and all of this. And so anyway, the teacher, being an atheist as she was, and sad to say there are a lot of them in our school system that are atheist, whether it be elementary, whether it be junior high school, middle school, high school, college, whatever. But many of them are atheistic in their belief, and by the way, that is a belief. Even though they say they have no belief, atheism is a belief. They believe in themselves. It's a humanistic belief. And so anyway, this teacher, you know, trying to brainwash the children, well, no, said, all of you that are atheists, raise your hand. And all of them raised their hand trying to please the teacher, you know, young class, saying, oh, I'm an atheist. There was one little girl up close to the front. She wouldn't raise her hand. And so the teacher wanted to embarrass her and put her on a spot. And sad to say, here again, this is being allowed. They're talking about bullying in schools. Sad to say, we got a lot of teachers that are bullying our students, trying to force them to believe something that they're not being taught at home and not being taught in the church. And so this teacher bullying this young student here, and asked her, said, well, if you're not an atheist, what are you? And a little girl said, well, I'm a teacher, or I'm a Christian. And she says, well, what makes you a Christian? If you're a Christian, what makes you a Christian? She said, well, my grandparents were Christians. And she said, my parents are Christians, and my brothers and sisters are Christians, and I'm a Christian. And that teacher looked at her, trying to embarrass her just a little bit further and brainwash her even further. She looked at her and she said, well, what would you be if your parents and grandparents and siblings were morons? She said, I'd be just like you. Now, I know that's not respect toward a teacher, but it is a truth. It is the truth. Second grade children are impressionable. Cameron, what grade are you in? Second grade. If Cameron was my child and I sent him to school and I had a teacher tell them that they were not going to recite the Pledge of Allegiance the way they had been taught, that from now on, when they recited the Pledge of Allegiance, that one nation under God was going to be removed and that they would recite it without God in the pledge. Folks, this happened in the state of Tennessee. Tennessee's still in the Bible Belt, folks. This happened recently in the state of Tennessee when a second grade teacher demanded and rewrote the Pledge of Allegiance to remove one nation under God out of that, and had the students stand up and to recite the pledge that way. If I would have been that one of those students' parents, I would have been outraged. I would have been furious. I would have went to that school and said, "Who made you God that you could do that to impressionable minds?" That would have been the straw that broke the camel's back, like it was with my child. My child wouldn't be in public education anymore. But that's happening, folks, all over the globe. Today, our young people are being taught in public education that your gender identity is what you think you are. It doesn't matter what your birth certificate says. Any of you looked at your birth certificate recently? I just went and got mine. I had to go to the county seat where I was born, and I got me a new birth certificate. You know what my birth certificate says I was born? I was born a male. You know what that means? That means I'm a man. I was born a man, and I'm going to die a man. If you're a man here today, you were born a man, you'll die a man. You can put a wig on, you can grow your hair long, you can have implants in certain places and surgery for other places. But it's not going to change what God made you. This is something that I don't know a whole lot about, but I did listen to. That a man has so many X and Y chromosomes, and a female has so many X and Y chromosomes in their body, make up their DNA. And it doesn't matter what you do. I can grow my hair long and flowing. I can put on pretty lipstick. I was born a man, I'm going to die a man. Because the way God made me with those X and Y chromosomes, that you cannot ever change. I'm just telling you what they're being taught today. The Bible is bad. The Bible's outdated. It's a book of myths, and it's untrue. My time's about up. See, I didn't even get to the other one. But you know, I've talked a lot about public education. It's sad to say that much of Christian education today is not a whole lot better. You say, "Well, oh, preacher, you fixing to start stepping on toes and crossing the line." My children went to Christian education, I know. You know what Christian education used to be? Christian education used to be reform school for the public school system. Used to, public schools had more standards than Christian education. And when you got expelled from public school, where did they send you? To Christian school. Now I realize that it's gotten a little bit better over the years. Because they don't expel children anymore for wrongdoing in the public school, or very little. You can bring guns to school, you can rape in school, you can rob in school, you can curse in school, you can do whatever you want to do ungodly in the school system. And very seldom, if anything goes wrong, it's not the student's fault, but the teacher's fault. So the blame is shifted to somebody else. So I had to say that many of our Christian schools and our Christian education today, all for the sake of enrollment, as I mentioned here a while back, our Christian schools are suffering. Enrollments are declining in our Christian schools. There was a height in our Christian schools at one time, but now they're beginning to decline. So what did Christian education do to help their enrollment? Of course, it's just a few things that they did. They lowered their standards. They removed any conviction that they had. No real strong beliefs on anything. No teaching on doctrines. No walls of denominational barriers there. They fill their halls with compromise rather than with Jesus. And like I said last week, we'll never get closer to God by compromise. What can we do? We've recognized another enemy today. Another one. Because today, it's not what it used to be. It's not. And you know it, and I know it. And it hurts. It breaks my heart to see it this way. Because we still have people out there that love Jesus and that attend church that are out there fighting a battle. They're just trying to endure, just like that friend of ours, just trying to endure till retirement time. So she can live, hopefully, somewhat peacefully and happily the rest of her life. But it's not easy. And you know what? It's getting worse. What can we do? Folks, we can pray. You know, we need to pray. We need to pray for our teachers. Our teachers do a great job. We need to pray for our teachers in Christian education. We need to pray for our teachers in public education. We need to lift them up. Then, of course, we need to be a voice, do we not? We need to be a voice. When we see something going contrary, we need to speak up. I don't even know. I hadn't been. Do they still have... What do they call them? PTA meetings? What is that? Parent Teacher Association? Isn't it? Somebody y'all know? They still have that, you know, where you meet? If they do, as a concerned parent, I believe I'd be there. As a concerned parent, I'd be there and I'd raise my hand and I'd be very respectable and I'd try to be an example. Donna reminds me I'm too vocal a lot of times. I need to learn, Donna. I need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I put my foot in my mouth a lot of times because I've spoke my mind and I've spoke my heart. A lot of times that's where we're going to get somewhere, though. Because what they want us to do, and we'll get to this, good Lord willing, next week, when we look at political correctness, but they want us to. You ain't got to like it. You ain't got to agree with it. Just don't say nothing about it. That's what they want. They want to silence us. You know what a silenced church is? A silenced church is a dead church. Folks, I'm not dead. I'm alive. There may be snow on the mountaintop, but there's still fire in the bosom. That's what Donna's daddy said one time. Maybe snow on the mountaintop, but they still fire in my bosom. I'm glad I got that fire, aren't you? You can do it the right way. You don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to be harsh or hateful. You can speak the truth in love, just like the Bible tells us to. Those are some things that we can do. We can pray. We can put on the whole armor of God, can't we? It's what God wants us to do. And we can be an example. The Bible said, be an example of the believer in word and faith and charity and purity. We can be that kind of example. That's what we can do with this enemy that we're facing out there. Do what God wants us to do. Let's pray. Let's pray for our young people. I'm glad I don't have to go back, aren't you? I'm glad I've got that area of my life that's already passed. Even though I would go, if I could go back and change some things, there's some things I would change if I could. But if you ask, if somebody said, you can go back, I wouldn't go back. Even for the things I'd want to change. I wouldn't want to face what our young people face today. They need our prayers. They need our help. They need our support. They need our encouragement. They need our example. They need our instruction. I hope you see that. Let's do what God wants us to do. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, for liberty and preaching this morning. Very difficult subject, Lord, this morning to speak on. It's a subject that, Lord, we ought not even have to refer to as an enemy of the cross of Christ, and especially an enemy of the local church. But, Lord, we know, we see what the product of all this is. And, Lord, we realize that there are consequences for taking God out of the public school system. Now, I realize that there are still schools that still have prayer. There are schools that may still read the Bible. There are schools that have Christians that are their teachers and administrators, Lord, principals and all of that are Christian, good Christian people trying to live out their faith every day. We realize this. But Lord, when our government, when they declared prayer and Bible reading unconstitutional in the public school arena, Lord, they crossed the line. And Lord, there's consequences, there's a payday for that. When you take God out, it's not going to be good. And that's what we're seeing today. We're seeing a country, a world, a system that is not good. Father, we ask for your divine intervention as we pray. We pray for these students in every classroom setting. We pray for these teachers in every classroom setting. We pray, dear God, for us that we would be the examples that we need to be. Instead of just preaching the sermons, may we live out our faith and our purity and our hope. Lord, bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.